culture that we live in is radically changing, changing fast. You find that, guys, out there? Yeah, is anyone awake out there? Well, you are, Matthew, anyway, yeah? Well, it is, isn't it? You look on TV, I mean, it's everywhere, isn't it? Yeah, it's in the schools, they're even teaching the kids that now. And so it's radically transforming. So LGBTQ is on the rise, not just here, but right around the world. And we've got to have some kind of answer for it. Because in Matthew 16, 13, Jesus rebuked the people at the time. Why? Because they didn't understand the times that they lived in. He rebuked them. And so it's really important for us to understand the times that we live in. Understand not just what's going on, but also what does God think of this uprising of the gay community? What does he say about it? And Jesus said this, look, it's important, first off, that we don't see them as enemies. You know, we all know people. I know, I think I counted them about 7-8 people now that are of that way, and I'm actually chatting to them now, all of them, apart from one who's pretty hostile about it all. But the others, you know, it's an ongoing thing. And so it's important that we don't treat them as enemies. We've got to love our enemies. That's what Jesus said. So we've got no right to call anyone our enemy or see them as an opponent because of who they are. Jesus said even the worst ones, the ones who your enemies are, that you must love them. And so he carries on from that and says that you may be seen as children of your Father. And so when we love those that are very different from us and ones that don't fit with God's standard in the Bible, and we love them still, we reflect God who loves us. And let's face it, guys, none of us are perfect here. We can't point the finger at anyone. And so we reflect the Father in heaven when we love him that way. And we've got to remember that these are people like us. They are people like you and like me. And generally, they are beaten up by the world. They're confused. They're hurting. And they are bullied. And we have two in our extended family that are that way. And what this whole series has done, it's enabled me to actually chat with them and open up the conversation. I've been able to do that. Now, I don't know about you. You might find it easy to chat with gay people and talk about your faith as well. Up until now, I will talk to anybody about their faith, but it's been like a brick wall. How do I do it? Well, it's to understand who they are. And to realize it. So for me, the water broke, if you like. I saw a way forward. When I just said, God, I really don't know what to say, but the guy's walking over, you've asked me to talk to him about it, and it just came out. I said, look, how did you get where you are? Tell me what your story is. And he was only we built up relationship for 8 years without talking about it, but suddenly it all came out. How he ended up, he was abused, and then that led to confusion, and that led to a whole lifestyle, years now, of being a gay, and he's now married to some guy, well, civil partnership. But we have to realize that these are people, and Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. And so whatever the government passes as laws in this land or anywhere around the world, our duty is still to give them the gospel. They still need to be saved. They still need to hear that message from God, that God came to earth as Jesus Christ the Son to save us from these things, to save us into heaven, to be with him for all eternity. And now, at first, they might oppose us. They might turn against us. They might shun us. They might not like what we have to say. But that doesn't stop us doing what God has called us to do. That is share the good news. There is forgiveness. There is a God of love up there that loves them and cares for each one of them. And as we open up relationship, as we chat with them, we leave it to God to do his bit by the Holy Spirit. We can't make anyone become a Christian, but we can share the love of God and encourage them and walk with them as they're going through what they are going through. Because if we see them as an enemy, we think, right, you're out of order. But when we start to love and talk to them, actually we start to empathize and realize these guys are really in pain. These guys, are what they struggle with is very real for them. And so we build relationships. But now we're going to listen to Greg's story. Don't press it yet, Adam. Not yet. And Greg is a guy who struggled with SSA, if you're that same-sex attraction, but he loved Jesus. And we're going to hear how he chose to stick with Jesus and choose the celibate way of life that is our alternative. Are we ready? Come on.
Growing up in the church, I knew of about three options for somebody who was gay and calling themselves a Christian. I had heard that maybe you could become an ex-gay, that if you just prayed hard enough, long enough, trusted Jesus enough, then you would become straight. And I also knew of some people who would read the Bible a little bit differently and conclude that it was okay to pursue a same-sex relationship. And then I knew of people who just fell out of love with Jesus because they were gay. And growing up, I sort of tested each of those narratives at one point or another to see if that would be the story that I would live into. And none of them were. I spent a lot of my growing up years through middle school and high school and college just praying and wanting and trying to be straight, to be what I thought I was supposed to be in order to follow Jesus. And then when that didn't work, I wrestled with some of my other options. Can I understand the Bible differently? Do I need to just stop following Jesus? And I found that I couldn't do any of those things. And so I began to try to navigate a new space for myself in which I remained gay, and yet I remained totally in love with Jesus and willing to do whatever he called me to do. One thing that people have told me when they begin to hear a bit of my story is that they're worried that I'm denying the power of God to heal people, to make people well and whole. And I never want to deny the power of God to do anything that he wants to do. I spent years and years praying that I would experience the kind of healing that I had been trained to expect from God as somebody who was gay, that if I prayed long enough, if I believed enough, I would become straight. And I prayed into that. But the answer that I felt I kept receiving from God was a no, in the sense that God doesn't necessarily call us to lives that are simple. And God doesn't always promise to remove certain desires from us. What he does promise is to be faithful in the midst of whatever we face. One of my favorite comings out ever was to a friend of mine who, the moment I told him that I was gay, stood up and said, "Give me a hug." And I loved, first of all, that he didn't need to wade through all the theology with me just yet. He wasn't concerned about touching me. He just wanted me to know how deeply I was loved. And I think that needs to be our posture towards sexual minorities in the church. We need to be more excited about people's pursuit of Jesus than we are in making sure that they get the right answer or making sure that they agree with us about everything. Before we crack open the Bible to figure out what it looks like to follow Jesus as someone who's gay, we need to communicate to people how deeply we love them and how deeply their Creator loves them.
Really believed for years and prayed in faith that God would deliver him from that same-sex attraction, but actually he didn't. But Greg held on to loving Jesus, and you heard the rest of the story there. So what has changed in our culture? What has changed? Well, let me say this. Everything, absolutely everything has changed. Language has changed. Law has changed. Attitudes have changed, and acceptance has changed. And so the whole of society has changed because of it. And it wasn't that long ago, I read about it, I think it was 1967. Before that, it was illegal. You got prosecuted for being gay. But thankfully, the good news is that that has changed now, and so if you're gay, you can talk about it openly. That's a good thing. For whatever you struggle with in life, it's good to be able to talk about it. The bad news is Christians can't talk about it. We're not allowed to talk about what we believe. We're not allowed to talk about what the Bible says is good for us and what isn't good for us. We're frowned upon by society. We're looked down upon as refuse, if you like, and outcast because of that, because we're living as God wanted us to, that we're the ones now persecuted because of it. Everyone has got to be tolerated. That's what the world says, apart from the Christian that believes the Bible, the Christian that believes what the true God says. We are not allowed to say that without it being frowned upon. And that is the world that we live in right now. So what helps us? What helps somebody with this kind of same-sex attraction? Well, it helps us to know the big story. What helps us? Because I need to know how to relate to them. I need to know how to walk with them. I need to know how can I be the best person I can to allow the Holy Spirit to come and convict them or let them know. And the one way is to help them know the big story. The big story is that God was the one who designed us and created us. In Genesis 1 and 2, he created us in his image. And then first of all, he created man. So man was created first. And then he created woman for man. Both equal, but created in different ways. And they fit together perfectly. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Every part is made to fit with the other. And that's God's plan for us. And so sex is for man and a woman. And is it for pleasure? Yes, it's for pleasure. It is. But also there's a purpose for sex, and that is to produce children. Children that will grow God's family. That's what God is doing around the whole world now. He is growing his family that will be with him for all eternity. And so God started the ball rolling. And when Jesus returns, he will stop it, and then we who believe will move into heaven to be with God forever. That's where we will end up. So forever means a trillion, million, billion, and however many more millions you want to put on it, years that we will be with him forever, and just this 80 or 100 years now, we will have sex on earth. That will be available to us, okay? But we won't be having sex in heaven. And some of you might go, I don't really want to go there then. But actually, what sex is a foretaste of what heaven is going to be like. Okay, it's a bit like the British summer. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's a taste of what a proper summer should be like, yeah? When you go out to the Bahamas or Greece or Turkey, and then you realise what proper summer should be like. Well, sex is a taste of what heaven is going to be like. That's what it's for. So it's just for now part of our lives here on earth for those that are married. But it's quite clear in the Old Testament, says this, that Leviticus 18:22 says that when a man sleeps with a man, it's an abomination. Or 20:13, it says that if a man does sleep with a man, both of them need to be stoned to death. So let's be clear about it. You know, where people say, well, it's open to interpretation. Let me just read that again. A man has sex with a man, it's an abomination. How can you misinterpret that? Yeah? What about the other one? If they both sleep together, both have to be put to death. It's very clear there. And so why is all that? Why is it? Well, the reason is that God is holy. The Father is holy. The Son is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. His kingdom is holy. His home is holy. And he calls us to be holy. But 1 Corinthians 6:9 says this, that some will not inherit the kingdom of God. The sexually immoral, idolaters, homosexuals, thieves, the greedy, the drunkards, and the swindlers will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why God came to earth. That's why Jesus came to earth, to save us from these very lifestyles, of which one or two of them I certainly was at one time. And so Jesus came to save us out of them lifestyles. Sally Lloyd-Jones said this about the whole story of the Bible. This is the big story. This is what is going on. Try to come back. You've got the here and now of what is going on now. Draw back the whole Bible, the whole big story. Creation. Do you know God even knew us before creation? So this time now is just minute. Sally Lloyd-Jones said that the Bible isn't just a book of rules and heroes. It's an adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his treasure. It's a love story of a brave prince who leaves behind everything, his father, his kingdom, all the rights, and he comes into the world to rescue the ones he loves. And the good news about that is the story is true. And it's about you and me, that God came in to save you and me. And so Jesus came into the world. Why? Because we are a rebellious people. And this is what happens to us if we don't follow God's way, if we don't follow him. Romans 1 says this, and we're going to put it up, 21. If we can all read this together, if technology works, which I'm sure it will, come on. Yes, right, here we go. Ready? Follow me. 21. Ready? Follow. For although they knew God... Hang on, what's going on? Right, let's go again. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God... Hang on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come back, Sam. Okay. Although they claim... Can you hold that one there? Oh, you just go back. So just look at that. It's important that we get the Word of God in us. Can anyone tell me, how can you misinterpret that? Just tell me how you can. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the penalty. Put the next one up. Hang on there. You see that is describing not just people with same-sex attraction. This is people that have turned their backs on the glory of God and they've made idols. They worship idols, including those that are same-sex attracted. So just again, Sorry, guys, I can't read it here. Well, that's too big. It's really hard up down here. Anyway, keep going. You're doing well. Is it? Is it 32 there? Went on to 32 as well. 32 says, though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they do not only do them, but give approval to others so that they would practice them too. And so there you see it, Romans 1, the second part of Romans 1, it's very clear that there's a process happening there. And we've got to be careful, guys, you know, because it's for those that reject God, that change the glory of God for something else. And what we see in that process is, first of all, that they knew God but didn't honour God. They knew about God, but they honoured other things, worshipped idols. Secondly, they became futile in their thinking. They were consumed with self and confused in their own mind. Thirdly, their hearts became darkened. They started to think about things that they shouldn't. And then fourthly, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God for things that were degrading and even humiliating. And so it says, and so in that condition, where God no doubt was calling them back and back by the Holy Spirit, and they said no, God then handed them over. He said, okay, you have your way. You can do what you want to do. And he gave them over to their lustful desires, men for men, women for women, natural for unnatural, and consumed. They were consumed with passion for each other, committing shameless acts, things that ought not to be done. So let's be clear in the middle of this sermon that God clearly says that it's not a good thing, and there's a pattern once they go down that way. And so the problem is, we live, before we start pointing the finger at anybody, we live in a fallen world. It's a broken world, and each one of us is broken, and our brokenness comes out in different ways. Some end up as thieves, some greedy, some jealous, some violent, some drunkard, some on drugs, some homosexual, some swindlers, some that are full of pride, you know. Oh, that's about the worst people. I'm all right, there's nothing wrong with me. Full of pride, yeah. Or the gay, or some are gay. And so we all are broken. The question comes, is that can you be born gay? Can you? And what I would say is that I know many now and talk to many that are suffering in this way. And from my understanding, there are some that have been abused as children, and it confuses them and they end up following the gay lifestyle. There are others that parents have said, it's okay, you choose what you are, whether you're a girl or a boy, it doesn't depend on what you've got downstairs anymore. You can choose yourself. A crazy way of lifestyle. And I can't believe that the government allows it or even pushing it now. So some, that whole way of life is opened up to them by people that should be looking after them and say it's okay, it's not okay. Or it can be demonic. I can remember when I was a two-year-old Christian, I was a baby still, but people used to come and there was a guy who was actually wanting to go up to be a priest, and we're praying, there's only a few of us, and the next thing, he's on the floor. And I thought, what's the matter? And then I quickly realised the guy's got a demon, there's something going on there. So I tried to get rid of the demon, and in the end I said, what is your name? Because obviously he couldn't talk, couldn't get up. And all of a sudden he went, homosexuality. Well, I was so scared. Honestly, it was like shocked me. And so we was able to name it, and we kicked the thing out, and now he's married, he's got kids, he's happy. But actually that happened to him. He was very embarrassed at the end of it, and it was many, many... He was very embarrassed there because he didn't want anyone to know. But then he opened up and said that what had happened, because God wasn't doing everything that he wanted in his life, he joined a sex cult, and that's how the demon got in. And so it can be any of them ways and many more. One thing I would say is that when we're dealing with anybody that has got same-sex attraction, yeah, anyone who's got that, we need to be careful. They're all different. There's probably another 100 ways that it could happen, yeah, but it just does. I hate to say this one, it's just the trendy thing to do. And if you've got someone that is born that way, because yes, the answer is they can be born that way, they really don't like them ones, you know, because it's like going weightlifting and you get someone in who's on steroids. It gives it a bad name, yeah. But it's the same with them people. Some are just doing it because it's the trendy thing to do. And it's massive out there. Parents, if you didn't know that, it's huge the amount of times this goes on. So can someone be born gay? Yes, they can. We're in a fallen world. We're in a broken world. And sometimes people are. But you see, having same-sex attraction in itself isn't sin. Acting on it is, to act upon your feelings. And so you can still be a Christian and love Jesus with them feelings inside, but the way forward to keep close relationships is to abstain from sex for life. So, but it's not easy in a sexed up culture. And that's what we are, where sex is the god of the age out there. Everyone should be able to have sex when they want, how they want, with who they want, and that's how it is. And so how do we help somebody who's suffering that way? Or if there's someone you know that you want to help? Well, Romans 8 says this, that if you live according to the flesh, you will also die by the flesh. But if you live by the Spirit and put to death the things of the body, you will live. And so if we follow the desires of our heart, you know, I feel like I want sex, so I should be able to have sex. When I want, how I want, with who I want, I feel that way, so I should be able to carry that out. No constraint, do what you like. That leads to death, the Bible says. But if we live by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit of God, if we get filled with the Spirit, then that leads to life. And so what does that mean? It means we're filled with the Spirit of God, the presence of God. Jesus came, he lived, he died to clear us of the sin debt that we have, so that he could come and live inside each one of us, each one of us today. And as his Holy Spirit lives inside us, he gives us power to be enabled not to sin, not to do the things he doesn't want us to do. And so we need the presence of God to overcome. It's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead that is in us now, working in us to overcome all the things that we struggle with in this life. But here's the thing, God doesn't always take the feeling away, like Greg said up on the screen. Sometimes it doesn't go. However much we pray, it doesn't. And God doesn't promise that. He promises that he will not test us beyond what we can cope with, and he will give us a way out of that. And he also promises that he will never leave or forsake us. But daily, it's a battle that goes on inside us. Our flesh is going, I want my way. I want to do this. I want to sleep with this one. I want to do whatever I want. The flesh will scream at us like that, where the soul cries out for joy. The soul cries out for the Lord. The soul cries out for that. And we've got to win that battle. We've got to come down on the side of joy. And I just want you, Lord, in my life. Because that's what satisfies. See, the world will say, do what you like. But Jesus says to Christians, no, you go and carry your cross. You carry your cross, whatever that is in your life. And I know for those that suffer sex attraction, I'm getting stuck on that one, yeah, that is overwhelming at times. It really isn't easy for them at times, but this is where we need to trust God. Secondly, don't repress your emotions. Speak to somebody about it. Don't be on that journey on your own. One of the things we say here is we don't want anybody to be on their own. Be open, share with somebody. Once you've shared with somebody, the feelings of guilt, ostracized, being ostracized, or outed, not part of the community, they will go because you're sharing it. And know that someone is standing with you with whatever the struggles are that you go through, whatever choices that you end up making. I know that, it's five or six different people now that I'm on this journey with. And I love them, and I will love them to the day I die or the day that they die. It's not up to me to make their mind up what they want to do. That's up to them. But it won't stop me loving them and giving them every opportunity of knowing this God of love that wants to forgive them and give them a place in eternity. Greg said this in his struggles, that I don't have to stop loving Jesus because I live with same-sex attraction. He said that I found that I can be fulfilled in life, and I choose not to act on my feelings. That's the other way we can live if we're like that. We don't have to. We can choose celibacy. But in a world that says that sex is God, that would be abhorrent. How can you not live without sex? Well, Paul said, if you're not married, it's good to stay that way, as he was. And then we look at Jesus, the perfect human being. He was celibate in his life. So it gives us a pattern that it's good. I spent years on my own, and actually there's a beauty about it. Greg said this, I found that I enjoyed a deep and intimate relationship, not just with men, but with women as well. There's a depth that comes when sex isn't the big thing about it all. You just want to get to know people. And he found it was deep, and his relationship with God became deeper as well. I don't know if you know anyone who's like that. I know a couple that are like that, and they're so gentle, so loving, so caring, and they get a depth of relationship that is amazing. And that's what he said. You see, God doesn't promise a simple life for us in this fallen world. He doesn't. And he doesn't promise to remove same-sex attraction. He does. You haven't got that. We just can't. Yeah? SSA. Yeah, that's what I'll call it. Auntie Linda said that, so that's what I'm going to call it, SSA. Okay, but he does promise to be faithful to us, whatever our difficulties are. And so people need to know that they matter. I'm hoping this gives us a way of being able to communicate with people rather than, oh my word, they're gay, they're this and that. No, they're people. They need to be loved first, cared for. Jesus always put relationship first. And then you might be able to hear their story and then tell them of how much Jesus has helped you and how much he loves them, and leave it to the Holy Spirit. It's his work. They need to know how much they're loved, how much they're cared for, and that we're there for them as a church. Lastly, we've got to be careful that we don't make sex our God, okay? Because the truth is this, sex between a man and woman that are married can be very problematic. It can have difficulties, disappointments, and frustrations. That's just the way it is. And if we look to sex for our happiness, or to fulfill our deepest desires, sex is not the answer for that. Jesus is. Jesus is the only one that can fill that. So someone else I know who chose celibacy as a way of life said this, having a holy view of sexuality is not easy. At times it's really hard. It's lonely being on your own. And you will have days where you think to yourself, why did I give up everything for this? Why did I? And it's, we've got to be honest with people. If they choose to go that way, it isn't going to be easy. These moments will come, he said. But so much reward comes out of it. It's the end goal that is fuller. How he felt in himself. How close he was with his friends and family and relations. How close he was with God. to enjoy those deeper relationships as he abstained from sex, and he could still be who he was. And so the answer is to trust God. That he knows what's best for you, not just for now, but for all eternity.